Movie, film, 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 film,
And you're listening to Movie Film.
It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Nate, and what's a Philistine?
And I'm Terrell. And oh, Lucille, I could have been rich and stupid. I would have been good at it. That's from Kingdom Come, which I just watched this week.
Oh.
Yeah, for the first time. What's yours from?
The Squid and the Whale, the breakthrough movie of one Noah Baumbach. Baumbach. It's Baumbach.
Okay.
you know, the director of today's picture, the Meyerowitz stories, new and selected. But first.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Kingdom Come?
Yeah, we can talk about Kingdom Come a little. You know, we talk about things we watch throughout the week. So this week, I actually watched a lot. I felt in the mood to watch a few movies, getting into the spirit that is fall, and also just like watching a few ensemble movies. You know what I mean?
And it's our last week.
Yeah, it's our last week of that theme. So I wanted to get a few in. And I've known about Kingdom Come since I was a kid, since it came out, because of that cast and because of like the culture. So I've always known about it, but I've never seen it. But I remember hearing not so great things.
I'm literally looking it up right now. You're looking it up. I don't know who the cast you're referring to is.
It's Whoopi Goldberg. Okay. It's LL Cool J, Vivica A. Fox, Jada Pinkett Smith, Loretta Devine. Yeah, Anthony Anderson, Cedric the Entertainer. It's a big cast.
Tony Braxton
is in it. And I remember, as a kid, hearing like reviews of people being like, "Oh, it's not that great. It's not that great." But then I listened to this other podcast that kind of talks fondly about it. So
wait,
There are other podcasts. and the person on there kind of talks fondly about it. So I was just like, "Ooh, it popped up on my Hulu. Let me watch it." And I checked it, and you know, I agree with the consensus. It's not that great of a comedy. Mm. Unfortunately, I think there is like a misuse of Whoopi Goldberg. And
that's criminal.
It's criminal. She's really underutilized.
How do you misuse Whoopi Goldberg?
Exactly. By not making her funny.
Oh, it's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
And you have Whoopi. Yeah, I'm never going to watch this movie.
Yeah. There's some like, I think LL Cool J is miscast. I think he's great in other things. I don't think he's great in this. I don't think he could. He's like the Chris Rock character. You know what I mean? From Death at a Funeral. He's like that character. He's like the oldest son who feels like the most responsibility and the weight. I don't think he was able to really carry it. Mm-hmm. Also, you have Tony Braxton in your movie, and you give the singing part in the movie to...
They're singing, but it's not Tony Braxton.
It's not Tony Braxton. They give it to Jada, who it sounds nice, but I mean, come on, you have Tony Braxton in your movie. You have Tony Braxton sing. But it was okay. It was just nice to see everyone, but I felt like it was kind of like missing heart, which is funny because it's a movie about death.
Hmm.
Yeah. What have you watched?
I also tried to get some ensembles in my viewing schedule for this month before we get spooky next month. So I watched a movie not so dissimilar from the Meyerowitz stories. I watched The Royal Tenenbaums, also a New York fucked up family. Yeah.
Wes Anderson, right?
Wes Anderson, also Ben Stiller. Having some problems from his fucked up dad. of course, Tenenbaums is way quirkier. It's, you know, it's got all of Wes's little trifles.
Mm-hmm.
His little things he likes.
Mm-hmm.
His little books and stickers. And
knickknacks and quick shots.
Yeah. Costumes and,
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It's great.
You know, Owen Wilson, who co-wrote the screenplay with Wes,
mm-hmm.
he wrote, what, he did The Royal Tenenbaums, he did Bottle Rocket, and he wrote Rushmore. So he wrote with Wes his first three movies. And Owen Wilson hasn't written anything since.
Hmm.
So that's three really good movies. I'm not the biggest Bottle Rocket fan, but it's good. I want him to write more. I
want him to write more.
Owen should write more. And he wrote hilarious. His character in Royal Tenenbaums is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
I've yet to see that one.
Mm. I'm not giving you my DVD of that.
All right. Keeping in line with our theme, I also watched Identity, which is kind of a favorite of mine. So I've seen it several times, but I always space it out. So I always kind of like forget what the the mystery is, like what the twist is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies. I think we talked about it on the Smoking Aces episode, when we were just like movies that like freak your mind. And this is one of those where it's just like, what's happening? And then it shows you everything that's been right in front of your face. And you're just like, whoa, my goodness. And so it's always fun to watch. And it just has a really great ensemble of like Ray Liotta, John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Clea DuVall is in there. I had such an interest in Clea DuVall as a young man.
She's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in, I was just like, But I'm a Cheerleader and Faculty, and I feel like there's something else she did, and I was just like, who is this actress?
I think she's getting into directing. I think she directed something that's coming out.
Nice. Soon. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here, exclusive.
Was that...
That Your yeah, that's Identity. Yeah. It's yeah. If you haven't seen it, it is a freaking 03 gem.
Well, I watched two Noah Baumbach movies. It's still weird for me to say.
Okay,
sorry. I'll get to a point where I can say his name correctly without noting that I'm weirdly saying it correctly. I watched Francis Ha from 2012, and mm-hmm. just today before the podcast, I squeezed in Margot at the Wedding mm-hmm. from 2007.
Francis Ha is one of your favorites.
It's a great one.
Yeah, you've seen it like how many times now?
Like four or five times.
Four or five times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was my second time watching Margot at the Wedding. Francis Ha is much better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Noah started out pretty strong and then had kind of a mid-career slump. I don't know. Margot at the Wedding's a weird one because it has no heart. But the characters are characters in Noah Baumbach movies, so they're like insufferable.
Right.
It's about a sister coming home to her estranged sister's wedding. And it's Nicole Kidman and Jennifer Jason Leigh as sisters, and they're just so nasty to each other.
Oh,
really perfectly cast.
Mm-hmm. Is this like
but
the
it's
90s?
A tough hang.
Or the
no,
2000s?
No, it's 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jack Black's in there as the fiance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing the Adam Sandler and Meyerowitz thing by just being like a sad guy in a Noah Baumbach movie.
Comedians are so good at... When they take on like serious dramatic roles, mm-hmm. they're so good at it.
Yeah.
They really shine.
So, yeah, just watching three, because we watched Meyerowitz twice this week.
Yeah, we did.
So just watching three, and I guess four if you count the rewatch, Noah Baumbach movies in 1 week, mm-hmm. really makes it apparent how much he recycles like character traits and themes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it, but... There is a character in Margot at the Wedding that threatens to punch somebody in the nose, which happens a lot in Meyerowitz.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know, just little things.
Little things that carry over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an artist, their albums all kind of sound the same, but they're interesting nonetheless. I don't know.
Yeah.
He just shuffles around themes. I think that's something Dustin Hoffman's character says critically of LJ. In Meyerowitz. He just shuffles around cliches.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what Noah does.
Okay.
I like it, though.
I watched, I made myself sit through Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Just because I've never watched those movies so close together. And I wanted to see if that would affect my opinion about the second one. But it didn't. It didn't help the case for the second one, of how I felt about the second one. It just like lost that to me, it just lost that it factor that the first one had that made it so such a cultural phenomenon at the time. That was pretty much gone and dead in the second one. But you know who's great in the second one? Rosario Dawson. Still great. In fact, probably the best performance, and she's barely in it, which is unfortunate.
Why did you list it as your favorite on Letterboxd?
Oh, I just was trying to... I was just doing like a theme, like a color theme of everything, of things I've watched recently. And so I was just like Sin City. And then Your Next fit perfectly there. And so I was just like, yeah, let me just throw in the other Sin City as well. Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Style over substance, as always.
I gave it a 2.5 star rating on there. So it's definitely not a favorite, but I just put it there.
Yeah. We watched Your Next.
We so did.
That's next. Let's we talk did. About that instead.
Yeah, we started, spooky season started to creep in. I started watching some thrillers and some Scary Johns. So yeah, we finally got to Your Next the other night. We squeezed that in at like 10 something. And I was excited for you to watch it because it's one of...
I was excited for me to watch it.
It's one of the, it's really good. And it was a surprise. I remember being surprised at how much I liked Your Next. Because I wasn't expecting it.
The problem is, I liked it too. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get to have that experience of going in not expecting much and then being surprised. This is a movie that came out in 2011 and... Since then, I kept hearing, oh, it's actually really good. I like that movie. Or that's a hidden gem. That doesn't get enough credit. Or you saying, I love it. I was surprised by how good it was. So I was expecting more.
Right. That surprise factor.
It was fun.
The hype was like too high for this like low-key gem.
I really didn't watch it at the right time. I watched it too late.
Yeah.
On the hype chart. And it's unfortunate how your expectations can shape how you receive a movie. I still liked it, and just the idea of a slasher where one of the victims is very good in these situations is
a fun movie. It was so fun. I was just like, oh, wait, this movie is about her killing them.
Yeah, the story beyond that and like the character that didn't really do much for me, but yeah,
it's
the movie wasn't kind of concerned with that.
Generic. It's kind of like, it's also like Ready or Not. It's like that same story. Yeah. Kind of, but yeah, the fact that she was just able to like survive it and knew what to do and threw a wrench in the plan was like so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And I love like kick-ass women. Mm-hmm. I do. I love women that can like actually kick ass, like physically, like just fight throughout a picture, which is really great to see. I watched Hair Wolf.
Oh, short.
Yeah, a short one.
Short film.
A nice shorty.
I watched that a couple months ago.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned it, and then it popped up on my Hulu. I was just like, let me watch this real quick.
Yeah, I got it confused with the upcoming Justin Simien picture, Bad Hair. So I watched it, and I figured out pretty quickly that it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Related to that. But it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first I was kind of worried about it. I was just like, oh no, is this... gonna be good, but no, it was really good. It was great, and it was kind of funny too.
Yeah, it was like a little horror comedy.
Yeah, horror social comedy.
And Regina Hall's gonna be directing the first movie.
Yeah,
from that director, I believe.
Awesome.
Yeah, I remember looking her up after watching that short.
Awesome. I want to see that team up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if it's like in line with like Hairwolf. Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I'll discuss, another thing we watched together, mm-hmm. another kick-ass woman, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, I watched a lot of other stuff I'll talk about next week or over the next month, because let's just give it away. We're doing campy horror movies.
Yeah, we're doing campy horror movies for next month.
So, I watched a bunch of those to try to find my pick.
Yeah, Nate went shopping. He went shopping for a picture.
Among them was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which mm-hmm. I had never seen. And I'm not sure why, because I would have fucking loved it if I saw it like as a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And I liked it as an adult man.
Mm-hmm. I also had never seen it, but I knew the character Elvira.
Same.
She's a part of pop culture. Mm-hmm. She's been on RuPaul's Drag Race recently. Oh. You know what I mean? And she's like just a big character in camp. I'm gonna say, so yeah, and I also enjoyed it. It's very, very funny.
Yeah,
yeah. Less like horror, more so funny.
It's like spooky themed.
Yeah, man. Spooky themed, but comedy. Yeah, yeah, and a lot of familiar faces.
Supernatural elements.
Yeah, yeah. She turned out to be like a witch or something.
Yeah,
yeah. And they were gonna burn her at the stake. I'm like, what town is this?
Puns and innuendos and like that mostly held up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it pretty clever, fun, cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one that I will probably revisit in Halloween seasons to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited about this Halloween season and what we're going to be doing within the month.
But before we get to Spooktober,
mm-hmm.
we've got to wrap up our ensemble season.
Yes, we do.
With, play the trailer, The Meyerowitz Stories, new and selected.
You know, if this place is a client, that's why we could get a table so last minute. That's why they gave us this bigger table. I imagine they'll send some complimentary stuff, too.
$55 for a steak.
You're known for their meat here.
And $35 for a salmon? You get the salmon to blow you for that price?
Are you Harold Meyerowitz's son, Matthew?
Yes. Mrs. Danny, also Harold Meyerowitz's son.
I didn't realize he had two sons.
And a daughter.
Dad, you be okay here?
It'll be nice to spend time with Dad. You know, I didn't get a lot of time with him growing up.
Son of a bitch! Well, once we had an easy
ride and always felt the same.
Dad, what the
time was on my side and I had everything's game. Let it be.
Maureen is plastered.
Really, they take all of the little birds and deep fry them and just... It's very sad. There are no little birds left in Italy anymore. They've eaten them all.
You are going to meet a lot of interesting new people. I didn't make it a month at college because I like drugs so much. Guess you need some bringing
down. We're Harold Meyerowitz.
You're on the list for the public viewing. Right now, this is a private viewing.
Tell her it's a mistake. Tell her this is bullshit.
Dad, she hears everything you're saying.
Won't you tell me?
I think I've ever seen Gene run.
Yeah, that's how she runs.
What's
Let's
going
go
on?
Tell Jess.
Why are
run,
we running?
Run, run.
Maureen?
Won't you tell me where have all the time
Ow! You kicked me in the shin! Ow!
The Meyerowitz Stories, new and selected, is a 2017 American comedy drama directed and written by Noah Baumbach, starring Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller, Dustin Hoffman, Elizabeth Marvel, and Emma Thompson.
mm-hmm.
among others in the ensemble.
Yeah.
You just got to do the quick disclaimer. Dustin Hoffman, alleged sex criminal.
Yes.
3 out of 4 of our ensemble.
Yeah.
And the other one was produced by Weinstein, so.
Yeah.
I guess when you get enough
Yeah, enough people yeah, the chances, they go up.
People are going to abuse their power. So, I watched this when it came out on Netflix. It was... No, that's not true. I was going to say my introduction to Noah Baumbach, but I had seen Francis Ha before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after this movie that I went, like, I got to check out all his other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is one that I show people.
Yeah, you showed me.
I think this is an underrated gem.
Yeah, I didn't know about this one. Never heard about this one. I had to ask you about the name of this one like 3 times before I could remember the title. And it was nice. I was just like, yeah,
hey.
Yeah. Nate showed me like a really good picture.
You got a rare sighting of a quality Adam Sandler performance. In a
yeah,
good movie.
I did. This is like the 3rd one.
Yeah.
Right?
The third one that exists to this date.
I'm like, wait, is there more? Is there more Sandler like this?
Like funny people, kinda. But you got to sit through a lot to get to it.
Yeah. I think I saw Funny People in the theater. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember bringing this up when we did Uncut Gems. We ranked Sandler. Mm-hmm. And I had to go with the solid performances and good movies.
Yeah. This is a really solid performance from everyone. Maybe the best I've seen of Ben Stiller as well.
Yeah.
Not like... Ben Stiller's great in comedy, but like as far as like doing a dramatic role, yeah, this is like, wow, this is really good for him.
Yeah, both roles written for the actors.
Oh, nice.
Kind of in their wheelhouses. Like it's not, but both roles aren't that far off from what the actors do in other contexts, but I think Noah figured out how to use that for his storytelling.
Yeah, they let Sandler yell a lot, which is like really great. Manic Sandler.
Yeah, who doesn't love angry Sandler?
Yeah, and like he gets to sing.
Play piano and sing,
exactly.
Little goofy songs.
Mm-hmm. Goofy songs, like when he was on SNL. So it feels very familiar and honest.
All right, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's go.
Open the book
of
the Meyerowitz stories. I say that because, you know, the title... making it seem like a collection of short stories and the structure of the movie with little chapters. First one being Danny.
Yeah.
Get the title card Danny and then some text on the screen. Once again, invoking a book. Because these are characters. The text saying, Danny Meyerowitz was trying to park.
Yeah.
And we drop in.
Yeah. And he is like mid-parallel park. But there is pressure being applied to him, so he's kind of unsuccessful. His daughter's also telling him that the spot is too small, so he ends up leaving that spot. This is so relatable. Like, starting, like, building your character like this. There are so many people I know, or even, like, me. Like, when you're trying to parallel park, and, like, he's doing it in New York, and you know it's already aggressive. People don't have time. They don't want to wait. They don't want to give you the space. So, like, making like having this action is like a really great like character setup. It makes him very relatable within seconds.
Yeah, and then they put on the radio. I don't know what the song is, but Danny comments to his daughter that he put it on a tape for her when she was like 12.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember. They both sing it.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to turn it off at one point to like focus on the parking.
Yeah, he takes his seatbelt off. Like, yeah, people, that's a move.
But Eliza decides, and he agrees, that the song is too good.
It's too good.
So it does a thing in the beginning of a movie where they play a song and then it stops briefly, but it comes back in. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That energy.
Yeah. This scene ends with him yelling at a car. And just like, it's a jump cut. Pretty much like mid like cursing out of the car behind him, it cuts to the next scene.
Yeah, some very strategic editing, hard cut. And next scene is Danny and his daughter Eliza arriving at his father's house.
Harold.
Harold, who's got a bruise on his face from walking the new dog.
You should see the other dog.
That's his joke.
That's his joke.
Yeah. We get this whole greeting between Danny and his father, Harold, in the kitchen right when they walk in. And then only when Harold is done with that conversation and leaves the room, the camera follows him into the, I guess, the den. Mm-hmm. And then behind the wall, sitting in a chair, is revealed Jean Meyerowitz.
Yeah, Jean Meyerowitz.
Played by Elizabeth Marvel, who kind of steals it.
This is really funny, and I know I'm not the only one, but when I first saw this, I was like, oh,
Allison Janney. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
My sister thought that when we watched it. Yeah.
I looked it up, and I looked it up on Letterboxd, and I went to go look for Allison Janney, and I was like, where is she, and who is this Elizabeth Marvel?
Yeah. That's how good she is. You think so good, she could be mistaken for the great Allison Janney.
Yeah. Skill and look-wise,
Yeah.
They could play sisters. They could play twins. Mm.
So it's very Jean to, she says, I could tell Dad wanted to say hi by himself.
Yeah.
She's, the movie focuses on the dynamics of Danny and Matthew Meyerowitz and how their different parenting of their father has affected them. But they have this third sibling, Jean, that's always either been pushed off to the side or is now, in her adult life, putting herself off to the side.
Have you ever seen the cartoon Daria?
Yeah, she's kind of...
She's got Daria. That energy. Yeah, she got that very, like, dry monotone.
One of her first lines is, I made cookies, but I stepped in dog shit. And she lets Danny know that Marine, Harold's fourth wife, is plastered.
Yeah.
And right after that, Harold enters the kitchen again to say, oh, Maureen's been sober for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Told her we could get a dog if she gets sober.
Yeah.
But then we meet Maureen, played by Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
And she's plastered.
She's drunk. She's drunk throughout the whole...
And she made shark.
Yeah. She made shark and, like, shellfish fish, like, soup, which no one... eats.
And
they all kind of just pick at it.
The shells are raw. You can't even open them.
The rice is raw. Yeah. They're all... Eliza is just like, I'm not eating this.
Yeah. And our dinner table conversation is the first of many scenes in this movie where... I want to say it's very realistic, dysfunctional family dialogue where people are just talking over each other. Everyone has their own conversation that they're trying to steer the whole table towards. But what that allows, at least right in this scene, for the movie to do is to give us a lot of information at once.
Yeah.
So we learn that Eliza is going off to film school. She's going to be studying at Bard College. We learn that Harold is a sculptor and used to teach there for many years. We learn that Danny used to play piano, but he quit it. Marine works at Xerox.
Yeah.
Or not Marine. Jean works at Xerox. Marine says, we have no idea what you do there.
Yeah.
And Jean starts to say, well, I'm a facilities. And then Marine immediately cuts her off.
Yeah. She also used to take photos when she was a kid. They all have like...
And she makes funny office videos.
Yeah. An artistic aspect to them.
Yeah, but Harold's disappointed that none of them have careers as artists like he did.
Yeah. He also talks about Matthew, a character we haven't met yet, who is his other son.
I love that in movies where like a half hour passes before one of the main characters comes in and all you get is the other characters talking about that character.
Yeah. But you can tell from this conversation that he... favors Matthew because he won't shut up about him, even at the expense of Danny kind of glazing over, you know, him being musical. Him being musical is not enough for Harold. He keeps talking about Matthew and his ability to mimic.
And Harold's really excited that Matthew's coming into the city just for the day to see some clients, but they correspond quite frequently, so Harold and Matthew are going to get lunch, and Danny says, oh, maybe I should get in touch with him. And Harold's like, oh, well, I'm sure he doesn't have time to see you.
Yeah.
He's just there for the day, but he made some time to see me.
Yeah, he made time to see me. And so off to the side, Gene and Danny have this conversation. And I don't remember everything in the conversation, but I made note that they kept saying, well, Danny kept saying half brother.
Yeah, they're like, always making that distinction.
They're always making that distinction throughout the picture.
Some distance between them.
Mm-hmm. There's some missing art.
Yeah, right? We learn. So one of Harold's contemporaries, L.J. Shapiro,
mm-hmm.
who apparently played the game, he played politics, and that's why he's now opening a retrospective at the MoMA.
Yeah.
So we start to get some information about Harold's sculpting career. Apparently, it's not much. He sold one piece to the Whitney,
mm-hmm.
but it might be lost.
Yeah.
Harold says it's not.
Yeah.
Maureen suspects otherwise.
Yeah, Jane can't. She can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he does have a little, like, kind of scrapbook that his kids had printed for him of all his pieces.
Mm-hmm. They also tell him that that there's potentially a show.
But it's a group show.
It's a group showing.
Harold believes he deserves more.
Yeah, he's a star. So he says, tell Hilma, tell her no. And Danny's just like, well, she has an axe. And he's like, well, when she does,
mm-hmm.
tell her no.
Yeah. And then we get a song.
Yeah, we get an original.
Throwback to musicals.
Mm-hmm. A father and daughter duet.
When we were watching this, I almost turned to you and said, I promise it's just this and one other song. It's a little ditty.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy and Daddy and Genius Girl make three.
Yeah, very cute number between father and son.
Danny and Eliza daughter. Both playing piano, mm-hmm. the same piano, sitting together, very mm-hmm. intimate,
mm-hmm.
Kind of doing a back and forth with lines.
Yeah.
It's apparently a song they wrote when she was younger.
Yeah.
It reveals a lot of character information about Danny.
Mm-hmm. Paints a pretty picture.
He defined himself by the two women in his life, his daughter and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's divorcing his wife and his daughter's leaving for college.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a career. He was a house husband. So he has a giant hole.
Yeah. Yeah. He's about to go on a discovery journey, as opposed.
And that hole is manifested, we see it for the first time in the next scene, in a limp.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have like this really weak, beaten up character, give him a limp.
Yeah.
It's worse when he's sitting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scene outside the Manhattan home.
Yeah.
Danny saying goodbye to Eliza
before
her boyfriend Marcus picks her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wants him to go see a doctor. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go see an acupuncturist. And she's like, no, see someone real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which kind of mirrors Danny insisting that Harold see a doctor for his head.
Yeah. And Harold being like, no, it's okay. It's nothing mm-hmm. to worry about. Danny reveals in this little powwow that he's going to spend some time with his dad.
Yep.
And he wants to get closer with his dad mm-hmm. because he didn't get to do that when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's his plans pretty much while Maureen is away and while his daughter is away.
Yeah, I love the shot when he's actually saying goodbye to Eliza. It's them hugging for the last time before she leaves for college. It's a very quick succession of cuts
mm-hmm.
back and forth and back and forth. I think there's like five switches in like half a second while they hug
mm-hmm.
Just to show like the very fleeting moment of time with his daughter now.
Yeah, and then that...
And then she leaves just as quickly. And another hard cut as the car's pulling away and Danny's yelling, text me when you...
And then that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that moment's gone. It's cut. It's cut.
Now it's time for Matthew. Now we get to meet Matthew.
Hold on. Wait.
No.
We
meet Matthew's clients.
We meet the two men that are looking at art.
Matthew's clients.
Those are his clients.
Set up to look at the art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're checking out a little more than the art.
Yeah.
One of them goes to the bathroom, is also checking the water pressure.
Yeah. And Danny's like, hey, the art's over here. You know, he's unaware of the whole situation. He just thinks that they're here for the art.
And Harold's really speaking himself up.
Yeah.
The line, I think I'm doing the best work of my life, but that's just one man's opinion.
Yeah.
Just always talking about himself.
He is always talking about himself.
As are a lot of the characters in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it turns out they're looking at the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny learns that Maureen and Harold plan on selling the house. They plan on selling the house and the art, like as a package, pretty much.
Another quote I gotta read. Maureen speaking about one of the men. He's baby-faced and sinewy, like a former lover of mine, Willem Dafoe. It's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Danny's mad that they're selling the house. He only lived there for a year in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because he lived with his mom after they got divorced. But he feels that the Manhattan home is a Meyerowitz tradition.
Yeah, he's really attached to it. And Maureen can't understand why.
Yeah, and this scene is him pacing back and forth. Maureen's in the kitchen doing something, and Harold's in the den sitting down watching the Mets. And just Danny's limping back and forth between them, and the camera's just following as he's saying he's upset that they're selling. He doesn't know why he's upset.
But he's just upset. Yeah.
And Maureen says he's got to clean out some boxes. He left stuff in the basement, though it's mostly Matt's.
Yeah.
And she's off.
She's off. Yeah, she's going away. So now it's father and son time, and we get a nice little montage.
A little bonding montage.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with them playing pool.
Yeah.
Sandler gets frustrated, throws his pool cue, and then Harold pulls out his cue, and Sandler says, "Oh, old babushka, I remember I saved months of allowance to buy you that." And then Harold flubs his hit and breaks the club.
Yeah, I love it. Because you see that he gets it from his father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The old famous blueberry pancakes.
With jazz hands. The famous blueberry pancakes.
Mm-hmm. They go for a dog walk.
Yep, they walk Bruno.
Mm-hmm. They watch an old classic Robert Redford movie.
Legal Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
A copy that they recorded on VHS.
Yeah, when you had to like...
some of those, I think.
Yeah, when you had to hit record. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And then the Myron song.
Yeah, we get our second song, Myron Byron.
Yeah.
It's about a man that Harold met and could not remember if his name was Myron or Byron, and called him Myron the whole night. Turned out his name was Byron.
Yeah.
But apparently it doesn't matter if you have confidence and look him in the eye.
Look him in the eye and say with confidence, Myron Byron. Yeah.
It's a nice end to the montage of them really bonding.
Yeah, it does. Together. It looks nice. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get to see Eliza's first student film.
Yeah.
And student film it is.
Woo.
First, they got to log on to Harold's computer to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
His password. Gene's also there, by the way, to hear this. Mm-hmm. His password. Try Matthew.
Try Matthew. Yeah.
So, if it wasn't clear before.
Yeah. Exactly. It's very clear now.
Oh, this movie, though.
This movie is, it's very explicit. I think Gene says it best. This is a hard R.
I watched like 2 minutes of it before.
Yeah.
Danny said, you know, I better watch this alone.
And no one is like clutching their pearls or anything at this. And she's like topless.
Yeah, she's an intersex superhero called Pagina Man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like fucking herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some camera tricks. And like talking on the phone while getting fucks, just saying, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all pretty quiet during watching it. And then he stops and he's just like, I should have watched this by myself first.
Yeah. Now, another scene in which Harold's watching the Mets. Danny's trying to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold's kind of shushing him because he's trying to focus on the game.
Yeah.
But then he gets a call from LJ.
LJ.
So Danny was trying to talk to his dad before, but got shushed to focus on the Mets. Then he gets the call. Danny tries like updating Harold on the score while he's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold shushes him again and makes him turn the volume down on the game. So Danny can't win.
He can't win.
He can't connect with his dad.
No. LJ ends up inviting him to his gala, his MoMA retrospective. Mm-hmm.
Danny would like to go.
But
Harlan's like, well, LJ got a special place for me. You're going to have to pay
full price ticket. Yeah, that's so messed up. He makes him pay. And Danny's just like, okay, I'll pay. And so...
black tie.
Yeah, he makes him dress up. So they both dress up as penguins.
yeah, they end up being the only people there in tuxedos.
Yeah, they're too dressed. They're overdressed.
And they're... turned down when they get there.
Yeah, apparently LJ put them on the public showing and mm-hmm. not the private one.
Right.
And because of this, Harold is about to leave. He's just like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, not even talking to the concierge or whatever.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. He's a very short-tempered man. Mm-hmm. He's
a proud man.
He's a proud man.
His pride is.
Yeah, he's not going to ask more than twice.
But LJ comes in.
Yeah, and he makes it right.
The artist whose retrospective it is, of all people you think, like, they would be dressed up. But no, he's very casual.
Yeah, he looks like he just came from Maine or something. Yeah.
Played by Judd Hirsch,
mm-hmm.
who was also in Uncut Gems with Sandler as his father-in-law.
Yeah.
I like Judd Hirsch as an old Jewish man.
Well, he is. Yeah. That's who he is.
Well, he used to be like the cool guy.
Oh, I haven't seen any of his...
Have you seen Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
He's the guy, the fist in the air.
That's
guy.
Him?
Yeah.
Oh, you're... What? Okay.
Right?
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Really? He looks so different.
Yeah.
He's the fist guy?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, he's the fist guy.
Oh, man. Wait, he's so much older than everyone. He's older than, like, Molly Ringwald and all of them. Oh, okay. He was like a 30-year-old playing a high school student, which is, like, a common thing, I suppose. But they were actually high school students playing high school students.
Yeah. So LJ enters and invites Danny and Harold to the showing.
Yeah.
You got this shot. The camera's, like, way high up, like, in the high ceilings, down on the crowd, just a sea of people, and you just get to see Danny and Harold both going in separate directions. Yeah. They each have their own shot, actually, of them in the crowd, and they're not even both in the same shot.
Yeah.
Just lost, mm-hmm. tuxedoed,
yeah.
Not fitting in.
There's a moment before they split where Harold is, like, critiquing everything. Mm-hmm. He's critiquing.
He's very critical.
He's very critical of his friend LJ. You would think that they aren't friends, mm-hmm. the way he critiques him.
He's bitter.
He has to be. Danny finds an old friend.
Yeah, LJ's daughter, Loretta.
Yeah.
Who, once again, not dressed up. She's in jeans and, like, a leather jacket.
Yeah, she's like, are you going somewhere after this? Like, she's confused.
Yeah, Loretta and Danny have immediate... rom-com love interest energy.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just old friends, childhood friends, they hug and her hair gets caught
in something. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it instantly, like, sets, like, the 16 candles or something. Like, it sets that picture mm-hmm. for them. It's very juvenile. It's a very young, very cute moment between them two.
Meanwhile, Harold's by LJ's side. And in comes a cameo. I've seen this movie a bunch of times, and every time I forget, I guess this time I didn't forget because we just watched it a couple days ago, I forget about the Sigourney Weaver cameo as herself.
As herself, which is funny.
Yeah, such an ensemble movie that you just got Sigourney Weaver popping in, mm-hmm. saying, hi, I'm Sigourney.
Hi.
Harold saying, I'm Harold. And that's the scene.
That's it. Yeah, that's
She's
the scene.
She's excited to go see the bears that Harold was talking shit on before.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a fan of LJ's.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the curator of the MoMA walks up to LJ mm-hmm. and Harold, introduces himself to Harold, having forgotten that they met.
Yeah, back in the 70s.
Yeah, and Harold has this moment to, like, network. Mm-hmm. The curator is asking, what have you been up to? I'm sorry, I haven't been paying attention mm-hmm. to your work. but is doesn't get that opportunity because a guy just passes the curator, taps him on the shoulder and says, "I'm not talking to you." So then the curator says, "I gotta go.
I gotta go. Excuse me." Yeah. And
then talk to the guy.
Also funny, because he felt like he feels like he has to compete with LJ. Mm-hmm. He mentions the Barb show.
Right.
Which earlier he
was offended.
Yeah, he was offended by that. He was a hard no for him. And now he's just like, well, I have to show up the bar coming up. I have a retrospective too, you know?
And then we go back to Danny and Loretta. They're
catching up.
Yeah, they're catching up in front of one of LJ's artworks, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a video piece of a little girl just walking down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's Loretta. There's some discussion about her being part of her father's art, which is definitely a running theme in Noah Baumbach's movie. Always artists, always using the other characters in their, not always, but often using characters in their own art, which is something that Noah probably does because the father figures in his movies are all very similar.
Yeah, she thinks that when she was growing up, she felt like it was weird to be a part of his art, but now she digs it. Now she's happy that she was a part of it.
That little video installation, I just want to note that, of course, it's on like the chunky TV.
Yeah.
That's such like an art TV. With the
fat back, yeah.
Because otherwise, if it was just like an iPad showing that, it would be so obvious. What the fuck is this? It's just an old home video that is in the MoMA.
Mm-hmm.
Modern art.
It's modern art.
We never get to see the bears.
No, we don't.
Because Harold wants to leave.
Yeah. They're actually, they catch up about, both of them are, they have failed marriages.
Yeah. Both Danny and Loretta are recently divorced.
Yeah.
And so there's an opening.
There's an opening, right? He feels that.
Harold wants to leave.
Harold wants to leave. So he's cutting this moment short, this connection that he's making. And he really doesn't give Danny any time to like say goodbye. You know?
Because Loretta is pulled away, and it's funny that this cameo is right after Sigourney Weaver, but she's pulled away by Josh Hamilton making a cameo.
Yeah?
Yeah, but like, you just had Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Like, but Josh Hamilton's in a lot of Noah's
The wigs are
stuff.
At the MoMA.
And yeah, they hug goodbye, Danny and Loretta, and their hair gets caught.
Yeah, they have
again.
That again. So cute and awkward.
And then Danny has to run after his father.
Yeah, his dad is running.
Literally running from his friend's art opening. Because he can't handle it.
Yeah.
And as problematic of a figure as Dustin Hoffman is, him in this movie as Harold Meyerowitz running brings me great joy.
It's funny because he has this very like short... stride
he's
run.
He's barely picking up his feet.
And like his body's very stiff. It's a very old man
walking,
run. Yeah.
But Danny has a limp so he can't really keep up.
Yeah.
It feels like a very symbolic moment of Harold sprinting down, or not his version of sprinting, not really effectively running. And Danny limping after him, not able to catch up until he does.
He again critiques LJ, very harshly, kind of calls him a hack who sold out.
And then he brags about meeting Sigourney.
Yeah, he does.
Telling the story of the time he met Sigourney. She said, "Hi, I'm Sigourney." He said, "I'm Harold."
Yeah. He also weirdly competes with his son over the interaction with Loretta.
Yeah, Danny brings up Loretta. Look, it was nice to see Loretta. And Harold's like, "Yeah, did you see the hug she gave me?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he turns that criticism onto his son.
Mm-hmm. Danny says, "We had to go so quickly, I didn't get her number or anything. Do you think you could give me LJ's email?" And Harold refuses to give Danny LJ's email, saying, "He might have a work email. Try that. I don't feel comfortable giving it away."
Yeah. And and then, he critiques him about not having a job, about giving up music, and pretty much about having to, like, move out and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny is like, he's so, he can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, it's quiet. And then the moment passes.
Like he yells to hail a cab and it, another hard cut on him hailing a cab.
Yeah.
And we're back at the Manhattan home at night.
Mm-hmm.
Danny's getting the couch ready to sleep on.
Mm-hmm.
Harold's got some of the boxes from upstairs.
Yeah.
Gives Danny some sunglasses, but Danny says they're Matthews.
Yeah. It's a very, they want you to take note of the sunglasses for some reason.
Yeah.
The sunglasses are some important. Motif. Yeah.
And then before bed, Danny calls his daughter.
Yeah.
And this call between father and daughter is interesting because it seems more like a mother and son discussion with Eliza taking the role of the mother.
Yeah.
And Danny taking the role of the son.
Yeah. It seems like he wants to say something to her, but he's not going to. And she picked up on it.
He's so sad.
And instead of being like, hey, dad, I'm at a party. Can I talk to you later? She's like, she's actually like, I'll step out of this party and we can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. Go do your thing. I'll call you in the morning.
Yeah, she says, but I'll keep my phone on in case you need to call.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something my mother has said.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just the funny line. Eliza mentions something about Elvis. Danny says, who's Elvis? And the answer is Joaquin's roommate.
Yeah.
Because those are the kind of people at Bard right now.
Yeah.
Elvis's and Joaquin's.
So
Danny's going to go stay with Gene in Rochester.
Yeah. Then we get our second title card, our second chapter, right?
Gets in the car and starts singing. The singing turns to shouting.
Yeah.
Fuck you, on the third fuck you hard cut. Now we get to Matthew.
Yeah. Matthew has flown in on a red eye from Los Angeles.
That's the text.
Mm-hmm.
And the first image we see is a wall being busted through.
Mm-hmm.
Just dust. After just hearing about Matthew, we finally get to meet the man, the successful Meyerowitz, the beloved son. So he's emerging from this smoke. Can he live up to this pedestal that he's been put on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the plaster clears, he just starts coughing.
Yeah.
I love it. He can't live up to that.
Yeah.
To what his father sees in him.
Mm-hmm. It's Ben Stiller and Adam Driver.
Yeah, we had Sigourney, we had Josh Hamilton, now a little Adam Driver scene.
Mm-hmm.
With real chaotic Adam Driver energy.
He's not playing himself, is he?
No.
Okay.
He's playing one of
one of his clients.
Yeah, one of Dan's clients, a rock star.
Okay, yeah.
And the drywall stuff is because they're constructing Adam Driver's character's new house.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew is in personal wealth. He's like his personal wealth manager. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that they didn't really have the budget for a saltwater pool.
Yeah.
But don't fear, because Adam Driver's got his own espresso bean and the coffee will pay for the pool.
He's like, that's a lot of pressure to put on coffee. he can't. He's spending a lot. He's hemorrhaging a lot more money than he's actually making. So, mm-hmm. Matthew comes up with this plan of how he's going to like rent out the space and, you know, it's going to pay for everything. And then eventually
he's good at his job.
Yeah. He'll be able to get the pool, but he can't get the pool right now.
Yeah. And we're introduced to Chekhov's pills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, you want some drugs?
Adam Driver gives Matthew two pills.
Yeah, one
brings
you
up, the other brings you down.
Yeah.
And Matthew puts them in his pocket, so you just know they're going to come back.
Yeah.
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 Chekhov's pills.
Mm-hmm. Matthew gets a call from Harold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's 45 minutes early for their lunch reservation.
The Matthew-Harold dynamic is so different from the Danny-Harold dynamic. It's kind of interesting that, I mean, Danny's name is probably Daniel. But he goes by Danny in this movie. And Matthew could be a Matt or a more casual name. But Matthew's like the successful businessman. Yeah, so he has the full name.
Yeah, he doesn't get a shorthand.
No one takes Danny seriously. It's just Danny.
Yeah.
Good character naming. So yeah, Harold's real early.
Yeah, he's real early.
Gave his own name.
Yeah, so yeah, that made me laugh the first time because I was just like, oh, he's such a self-centered character that he won't even say the name that's on the reservation. He says his name because it should be known.
Mm-hmm. When Matthew finally gets to the restaurant on time, on the time they agreed on,
yes,
but late by Harold standards, Harold is in protest, refusing to eat in that restaurant because they made him wait.
Yeah. So they have to go somewhere else.
Matthew asks about Harold's. A lot of the conversation, or like the beginnings of conversations, are the same exact prompts as the first scene with Harold and Danny, except they play differently. So the, how'd your face get like that? That comes up again right away.
Mm-hmm.
This time, Harold presented it with Danny as, this is my joke, I say, you should see the other dog. But with Matthew, Harold just says his joke, you should see the other dog. Yeah. He goes right into it.
Yeah.
So it's like he's performing for Matthew, whereas Danny, he, I don't know, it was more casual.
Yeah, and he's also
Matthew
kind
doesn't
of...
laugh. He's not really paying attention.
He's also kind of chasing after Matthew.
Yeah.
And invites him over to watch this this movie that his
Werner
dog
Herzog
is
film.
Named after. And Matthew is kind of disinterested in that, which is, yeah, it
Harold
changes that
one
dynamic
son who
completely.
Would have been happy to spend time with his father. They watched movies together and had fun, but he pushed him away.
Mm-hmm.
And now the son whose affection he's chasing is busy. Also, the lunch, it turns out, isn't really just between father and son.
Yeah, there's a third will.
Gabe from the New York branch of Matthew's firm, who does estate law.
Yeah.
So it's really a business lunch. Matthew's not even having a friendly get-together with his dad. The whole correspondence, it wasn't, I love you, let's get together, let's see where we are.
It's business.
I'll help you sell your house, move into Maureen's country home.
Mm-hmm.
From her late ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold didn't know about this, and he feels ambushed.
Yeah, he's very upset, and he's very mean to Gabe. He also mentions that that Danny is not happy with the idea of sailing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brought up again that because Gabe asks about Danny. He's just
brother,
and he's like, no, half-brother. So it's brought up that they feel the same way about each other.
Mm-hmm. They feel the need to make that distinction.
Mm-hmm. So now they're at the second place for lunch. And
Harold gets up and leaves.
Yeah, he gets up and leaves.
More protests.
He wanted to punch Gabe in the face. He was very upset that he was there. Yeah. He said this is a family matter. So
usually conspiracies are mounted against people who are close to you. In this case, I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
So they go back to the first restaurant.
Oh, that's what they did?
I think so.
Okay. I thought it was like a third place. I thought that was funny.
Or maybe, I don't know. Matthew was able to get a table because he knows the guy.
Yeah.
He's got connections.
Yes.
And this conversation is just even more so than the other ones. Characters just saying things that are important to them. Back and forth to each other. It's not a real conversation.
No, but you can tell that Matthew is like he has dealt with this before. Mm-hmm. He deals with it differently than Danny. Yeah, he powers through it. They're having two separate conversations, but neither of them is backing down.
It's just excellent dialogue.
It is.
He tells this Sigourney story, which really isn't a story.
Yeah.
He tells that when Matthew asks, how's LJ doing? And then Harold says, I met Sigourney. Yeah. She said, I'm Sigourney. So Harold's not even asking answering Matthew's questions. We see that Harold's been taking baby aspirin.
Yeah, brings up headaches that he's been having.
But once again says a doctor is not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he mentions his untitled work that will be showing at the Bard show.
Yeah.
That he will be titling Matthew.
Yeah, he said like, remember how you used to help me when you were a little kid? You used to have hand me tools and stuff. And it was like
you were the artist.
Yeah, it's like we created it together. So I'm going to name it after you.
Yeah, it's definitely something Harold values. Really, the only thing this guy values is his art.
Yeah.
It's about it. He brings up again, I thought we would have more artists in the family. You were a very, very talented mimic.
Yeah.
And then we get the awkward scene of Matthew doing an impression of someone that no one else knows.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, you don't know the person. So yeah, it didn't work.
And then Harold wants to split something or just get a starter because he's not that hungry. But then Matthew reveals that he's paying.
Yeah.
So Harold orders a salad, a steak, 6 ounces or 12 ounces? 12. And let's get a bottle of wine.
Yeah, bottle of wine. I love the way that this order is taken. I feel like it's very New York because like the waiter doesn't even have an opportunity to really like greet them. You know,
Harold's a very rude customer.
Yeah, and he's
a rude person.
He can't like write it down or anything. Like he has to like be on top of it, like in his head, and like remember the order. I'm sure this is like daily, but it was just like really like well composed scene.
Matthew talks about his son, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Shows a picture to Harold. Harold thinks it's the other guy in the picture, but no, it's the kid with his hands down his pants. And Harold notes that he looks like the kid from Kubrick's The Shining, which is funny because his name is Tony. Like, Tony! So that's fun. And it's not Stephen King's The Shining.
No.
It's Kubrick's The Shining. We get the line that Matthew says, you were married 4 times. Matthew's having some marital struggles.
Yeah.
And they talk about Harold's marriages. You were married 4 times. Harold corrects him because one was annulled.
Yeah, so it, so it only doesn't three. Count.
Only
yeah.
three. And then we get the French guy.
Yeah, the guy next to them keeps putting things on their table.
Mm-hmm.
First, it's like
a pair of glasses, I think.
Yeah, a pair of glasses. Ketchup. So brazen.
Yeah. Next, he's going to come over here and sit in my lap.
Yeah.
Finally puts a glass of wine on their table, so Harold grabs it and takes a sip.
Yeah. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, it's my protest.
Yeah. Just stubborn old man.
Mm-hmm.
But then that guy leaves, but his jacket looks very similar to Harold's. Sorry, I keep saying Howard.
So yeah, apparently there's a jacket mix up, and so they have to rush out of the restaurant before they even get their food. For the third time.
Yeah, they never get to eat.
They never get to eat.
And also, Harold ends up having to pay for it, because he wants Matthew to run after the guy.
Yeah, it's really frustrating for Matthew, who is like kind of like stuck, like going out of the door and then coming back in, because he's like, Dad, what do you want me to do? You want me to get your coat? Do you want me to pay for it? Like, make up your mind here.
So once again, we have father and son running scene, but this time it's Matthew running on his father's behalf, his father running in his goofy way behind him.
Yeah.
And you get this shot of the camera kind of going back and forth between the French guy, the couple, and Matthew, and then further back, Harold.
Yeah.
And Harold finds a ticket stub in his coat.
Yeah, which stops him. Matthew is able to catch up to the French guy and be like, hey, wait, you have the wrong coat. But the French guy is very sure he knows what coat is his, that he has the right coat.
And he does.
He does, yeah. Apparently, because there is no mix-up.
Only Harold's the only one that's seen Fault in Our Stars.
So yeah.
The stub in the pocket is in his coat, which he has.
Matthew's like, well, how does he have a ticket of a movie that you saw?
Yeah, it takes Harold a long time to realize.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's, yeah.
And then Harold tags along to Matthew's visit with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Candace Bergen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a sketch of one of Harold's pieces hung up. But it's also alongside, quote, the gym teacher's doodling, which is her current husband, Cody, who's a Spanish teacher that coached the soccer team that Harold insists on calling him the gym teacher.
The gym teacher, yeah.
So we get to learn a little bit about how Danny and Jean ended up that the way they are.
Yeah.
How Matthew is the way he is.
Yeah, she takes a moment.
She's got a monologue.
Yeah, and she apologizes. She wants to apologize.
It's a really good monologue, yeah. She regrets not mothering Danny and Jean more.
Yeah.
They wanted to start over with their kid, and they kind of pushed the kids from the other marriage away because they weren't hers.
Yeah.
She really regrets that.
Mm-hmm.
Harold wants to stay, but she kind of leads him out.
Yeah.
Pushes him away. And after her whole monologue, Harold has no introspection at all.
Oh, my goodness.
On the way out, the first thing he mentions is, when you're young, they call it flirting. I don't know what you call it when you're old, but that was it, right?
Yeah, he's like, and then like immediately also goes into critiquing her and mm-hmm. her love life.
Yeah.
And how none of the men that she's dated after him.
He's the smartest.
He's the smartest. They don't stack up. He's at the top of the totem pole. You know, well, he thinks very highly of himself.
And Harold's getting in his car to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a chapter of this movie can't end without a character shouting. So you have Matthew chasing after Harold's car. So
yeah.
They have some backs and forths about how Matthew is fucked up, too.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how I could be a bad father. Look how successful you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually tried with you, not so much with Jean mm-hmm. and Danny. And he was just like, no, that's the thing. Like they didn't get shit from you. But I got all your attention. All your attention was on me. And that fucked me up in a different way.
Yeah. And as Harold's driving away, Matthew's shouting, I beat you. I beat you. And on the third, I beat you. Hard cut.
Yeah.
Next chapter, the group show.
Mm-hmm.
But curiously, the text... it's about Dr. Sony has never seen such a forceful shove.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that the text isn't about the group show, but a doctor.
Yeah, a doctor.
Interesting.
Something's up, yeah.
Find out that some time has passed and Harold is in the hospital.
He had a brain bleed.
Yeah, scary stuff. Danny and Jean are in the hospital room. They
mm-hmm.
meet Dr. Sony and the nurse Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking over each other to try to get information.
Yeah.
Apparently, they can't get any information because Maureen's legally next of kin.
And told them not to talk to anyone but her.
Right. But she is not reliable.
No, she's not.
Danny
not at all.
And Jean are kind of chasing after her on a city street. Mm-hmm. She's drunk.
Yeah, she's drunk. She's talking about...
she's drunk walking to her car.
She's just like, get in contact with me if you want to know anything, but it's best to do it by email.
Right.
I'm like, what?
They're like, we're here.
We're here. This is our dad. You're talking about email?
Mm-hmm.
No, we need to know now. Like, his brain is bleeding.
Maureen thinks that Danny limping is him making fun of her. And he says, but you don't walk like that. And she says, I thought you were doing a bad imitation.
Yeah. Danny ends up yelling at her pretty much, mm-hmm. and there is a hard cut there as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
To Matt leaving his car, entering the hospital, he meets Pam. Pam gives him all the information.
Yeah, we learn that that Danny and Jean were able to get Maureen to change her call.
Yeah, and we learn the baby aspirin Harold was taking was not a good idea. So no. PSA for listeners, baby aspirin... will thin adult blood.
It's a blood thinner.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he's been steady bleeding in his head for like 4 months, because that's how long ago the accident happened.
Yeah.
Bruno.
I love how, I don't know if you were about to say this, but Pam is like, your father must have a high tolerance for pain.
Yeah. mm-hmm. And now Matthew has some hospital bedside talk with his father.
Yeah.
Who is not... rambling as he usually does.
Yeah, because he can barely formulate a sentence.
But he can get out the words that he's happy that Matt's here.
Yeah,
he's happy. He wants Matthew to speak at his opening.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets a call.
Yeah.
Has to go meet a client.
Has to abandon his father in the room. I love how he acts as Pam, like, I'm not abandoning him, am I? And she's like, I can't answer that.
Right.
Is he going to be all right? I think so. Like, she's being very, like, she has to be very careful.
Right.
About it. She can't be like, yeah, no, he's going to be great. Because anything could happen. And then she could get blamed and the hospital would get in. It's a whole, like, legal thing. Interesting to see that it was written into the picture this way.
Yeah, the movie's not about it, but there's some nice observations about the weirdness of the healthcare system and the impersonal elements of that.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew is outside a gas station, doing a FaceTime with his son Tony, who is probably on the spectrum.
He's very honest, very straightforward,
and aloof.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if ninjas are your favorite thing.
Yeah, he tells him about Jim,
the handyman. Jim's great at playing ninjas.
Yeah,
you don't live here, so you don't know Jim. But
yeah,
he stays up all night with mommy eating dinner and leaves in the morning.
Yeah. And but that call's actually cut short. What ends it?
Because Tony just likes pressing the button.
Yeah, he's like, bye, Dad. Yeah,
I'm pressing the button.
Yeah,
Tony never says that he loves Matthew, even though Matthew tries.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Matthew got all the attention from his father, Harold, it is appears to be Danny that got the good fathering genes. That proved himself to be a good father.
Yeah.
And then finally, Matthew, Danny, and Jean all together in one together. Room.
Yeah.
First thing Matt wants and ends up just shouting about it, having a little bit of a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Like, I want Pam.
I want Pam. And I'm not upset. I want Pam.
It's because it's a new nurse.
Yeah.
Harold's not in the same condition he was when Matthew left him.
Yeah.
And also, Matthew probably doesn't want to be alone with Danny and Jean.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
He feels more comfortable with Pam, a woman he just met, than his half-siblings.
And they're kind of upset with Matthew because he didn't call them. He didn't think to. Yeah. Right.
Real fraught relationship. And Matthew yells at them for not taking notes.
Yeah.
Matthew yells, I'm sorry. Danny yells louder, it's okay. Then Jean says very calmly, it's nice to see you, Matt, after a whole scene of high tensions and yelling. Because Jean is the only nice one.
Yeah. So they decide to write everything down. All three of them. So in the next scene, Dr. Sony is talking and they're all taking notes.
And she's throwing out all the medical terms. She's throwing out
the big words. The mellophilioma.
Maybe it's bacalao.
I'm just like, they have to write this and like spell it. And it's just so funny.
And they all turn the page at the same time.
Yeah.
But the headline is they're putting Harold in a coma.
Yeah.
Also, Dr. Sony's leaving tonight for her vacation. She's going to China.
Which is just like a crazy setup because she gives them all this information and just like, yeah, we have to incubate your dad.
I'm leaving the country.
But I'm leaving. I'm not going to be your father's doctor for this anymore.
Yep.
Which is like kind of on one hand fucked up, but also on the other hand, like,
let her have her life.
She also needs to like live.
I love her colleague from off screen yelling, Dr. Sony, don't you need to be packing for China? to passive aggressively tell these people to leave the doctor alone.
Yeah.
Then we have a long tracking shot of Danny and Matthew walking down the hospital hallway, taking the elevator down, going down another hallway and meeting Jean in the lobby.
Yeah. Danny and Matthew they have like no connection. Like, I feel like Danny's trying to end his sentences almost.
He's trying
to
finish the sentences about Matthew's job, but he doesn't know how his job works.
Yeah, he's wrong about everything, and Matthew has to correct him on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when Matthew tries changing the subject,
they also do that thing where they talk over each other as well.
A lot of overlapping dialogue.
Yeah.
Matthew ends up repeating, Matthew brings up Danny's limp.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny says, it's always worse when I've been sitting.
Yeah.
And then Matthew repeats, you should see the other dog.
You should, yeah.
Just the joke made by his father that he didn't laugh at, didn't pay attention to, but now he's holding on to that moment, yeah. to that thing his father said.
Mm-hmm. They end up...
Montage.
Yeah, they end country up home. Moving in with Maureen mm-hmm. in the countryside.
They bond over Maureen's quote unquote adventurous cooking,
which is funny because they know better than to eat her food, mm-hmm. but he doesn't. So he takes a bite of it, and they just watch him regret that decision. Yeah,
they bond over the Knicks mm-hmm. once again, walking Bruno. They bond over sexualizing their nurse Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Gene would fuck Pam.
Yeah, just kidding. But it's so serious, like they. They're, mm-hmm. they're just quiet. They don't even laugh.
They're looking at old photos, and Jean notes that no one took pictures of her when she was little.
Yeah.
Poor Jean.
Poor Jean. And then maybe my favorite moment is all three of them singing the
Myron
song.
With drinks in their hands.
Yeah.
Getting real into it.
Yeah. It's like, we're finally getting that like brother-sister connection that has been missing.
And then they have a little routine in because the following scene is a sequence of them taking different shifts in their father's hospital room,
relaying information mm-hmm. of like his heart rate changed, blood pressure dropped here, what they put him on and all that.
But it ends with them being handed an end of life conversation pamphlet.
Yeah, Harold seems to be getting worse.
Yep.
He has sepsis now and he's put in a different unit that is so that the infection doesn't get worse, but it's not for his head. Like, there's mm-hmm. not a head doctor in that wing.
So now they're treating the thing that they gave him, trying to treat the other thing.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a meeting, and they're instructed the phrases you should say to someone nearing the end of their life. I love you. I forgive you. Forgive me. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And so Eliza comes in on the train to see her grandfather for possibly the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I love this part where she's in the hospital room and the first thing she does is she has like an iPod speaker.
Yeah.
A Bluetooth speaker and like puts on a song to like soundtrack her sobbing over her sick grandfather. Yeah.
She said, he said he liked this song once.
I played this once. He said he liked it.
Yeah.
And she mentions that she's thinking about going to the Whitney to try to see if it's peace, if it's not lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is Robin with her at this point?
No.
Okay.
Now the three siblings and Eliza are in the hospital cafeteria.
Yeah.
Danny's getting pretty used to the food there. He says he would just come there to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of shows that people get comfortable with the low standards that they're given, such as the tough love from his or no love from his father. Mm-hmm. But he accepts what he gets.
Yeah.
Because that's Danny.
They also hassle Danny about his limp. Like, they all gang up on him.
They gang up on him, all three.
Yeah. He's like, I don't have time to see a doctor. And they're like, you're at the hospital all the time
right now.
Yeah, we're here now. So
he shouts, just let me eat my fucking bananas.
Yeah, I know what it is.
And then to Matthew, he yells, call your son. Because before, Matthew was talking about that he's thinking about just starting a new family.
Well, yeah, doing what his dad
putting
did.
Putting Tony behind him, focusing on having some new kids.
Yeah.
But of course.
It's a joke, but it's also really close to home. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's why he was able to make the joke.
Yeah. Then we have a scene of Matthew stretching for a run in the foreground. And in the background is the slowest car crash I've ever seen in a movie.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because you can see that she is struggling to drive, and the way she's turning her car, it looks like she's gonna hit something. Like, she's mm-hmm. not turning correctly, but she is turning into like her yard
into
or whatever.
A tree.
Yeah, and Matthew is just like, "Hey, Maureen, like this is
she
regular."
Says hi, and then he turns around and she drives into a tree.
Yeah, very gently though. It's not a chaotic scene.
No, she's just got some frozen peas to her head for the next scene.
Yeah.
In which her and Matthew are discussing the documents he sent over to sell the Manhattan house and the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that the artwork is going to be donated to retirement facilities that one of the families of the guys owns.
Yeah.
As a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of all fine art is just tax write-offs for the rich.
Yeah.
All that money people spend on art is kind of just for tax purposes.
It also shows that Matthew doesn't think anything of his father's art.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing, he's willing to give it away like that.
Hey, here's an opportunity to get some money for it.
Yeah.
We should take it.
Yeah. They also talk a little bit about Danny and Gene and about, you know, like what happened to them. Like, why are they such disappointments? But Maureen also is just like speaking as a disappointment myself.
Yes.
You know, that she was also neglected as a child.
Mm-hmm. She says as she takes a drink of straight vodka.
Yeah.
Matthew called some of Harold's old friends, among them one Paul Epstein, which is notable to me because my mother's maiden name is Epstein and she has a brother named Paul. Oh. And we all watched this on Thanksgiving last year. So I watched a movie.
Did you guys all look at Paul?
With Paul Epstein, in which a character named Paul Epstein is revealed to be
a predator.
A predator.
Yeah.
Because at the sight of this old man, Paul, leaving his car, entering the hospital, Gene immediately runs through the parking lot into the woods.
Yeah, they turn around to talk to her, and she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew's just like, oh, I've never seen her run before. And Danny's like, yeah, that's how she runs.
Yeah, another chapter heading, but this one's just a little interstitial. We're still on the group show, but...
Yeah, she doesn't get a big print.
We got a little one.
Yeah.
Gene's story. It's just this one shot that starts very tight on Jean's face, slowly pulls out, and then tracks her movement through the woods as she's telling the story of when she was younger, visiting her father when she was off from a camp that she was working at.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in a bathing suit in an outdoor shower, and this guy, Paul, revealed his genitals to her and started touching himself.
Yeah.
She told her dad, but he didn't really do anything.
He didn't do anything.
And then didn't even take her to the train station the next day. He was off playing tennis.
It was so frustrating from start to finish. So
she's been abused and neglected.
Yeah.
And I really like the way this part is framed because Gene is like always, there's always a tree in between Gene and her brothers.
Mm-hmm.
She's always on the other side of this like barrier that's splitting the frame.
Yeah.
Her brothers ask why are you always show up for dad? He's been so shitty to you.
Yeah.
But Jean says, I'm a decent person. It's what you do.
Yeah. She hasn't let her father taint who she is. She continues to be a good person, to be who she is. They try to comfort her. Attempted group hug. And she just runs off. She's just like, I'm just going to go smoke a cigarette. She's not with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the brothers feel a way about it. You know, this is news to them. So they feel like this anger towards this man.
They've got to act out on it because they're men.
Yeah. And so they...
They consider physical violence against this very old man.
They're like, yeah, he's way too old. We'll kill him.
Danny says, I want to spit on him. But then Matthew has an idea and they go back to the parking lot and they lemonade his car.
Yeah.
As in Beyonce in Lemonade smashing a car.
Oh, yeah, she did. She smashed a lot of cars. Yeah, I love how the first hit is a total flub.
It's not nearly as cool as Beyonce when she smashes cars.
No. It's the opposite. He takes a twig and tries to smash the window and it shatters.
Yeah,
the twig.
Danny's got Maureen's ex-husband's cane.
Yeah, so he's using the cane to put dents in the car and break the mirrors.
Matthew hurts himself. He says, ow, but good.
But good. No, you gotta try this. You gotta do this. I've never done anything like this.
And then they enter the hospital and they're both so energetic.
Yeah, so much adrenaline is pumping
through
them. And
bleeding.
Yeah.
And they see Pam in the lobby and...
Hug Pam.
They're so overbearing to this poor Pam.
Yeah, and she's just like, oh, great.
Giving her so much information about their father that she didn't ask about.
Yeah.
They ask her how Dr. Sony's doing as if those two people are best friends.
She's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they hug her goodbye as well. And it was like, come back.
She says, are you bleeding? To Matthew, and he says, yeah. And then Matthew walks away and Danny hugs her and like whispers in her ear, I am too. So they get Eliza,
mm-hmm.
and they run away. They tell Paul to stay in the hospital room for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they run.
Mm-hmm.
Meet up with Jean in the parking lot to show off the smashed car.
Yeah.
But she notes that all they did was smash a sick old man's car. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah, it didn't
but
do
I'm still fucked up.
Anything for her, which, yeah, I'm glad that they wrote this scene as well. Mm-hmm. It's another great scene because what they did was selfish, right? It was for them. It wasn't for her. It didn't do anything for her.
So, yeah, apparently, Paul has dementia.
Yeah, it doesn't remember.
But Danny believes they're still beneath the dementia.
She's like, I love Jean's line. She's like, I could smash every car in this parking lot and it wouldn't like...
And burn the hospital
and
down.
And burn the hospital down and it wouldn't unfuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys will never understand what it's like to be me in this family.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where Jean's story section ends and... That's as much as the audience gets to know about what it's like to be Jean in this family.
Yeah, and what her role is.
Just as Danny and Matthew and Harold kind of marginalize Jean, so does the movie.
Mm-hmm. Bard. They go to Bard.
Yeah, Chekhov's pills. Remember those? They make a comeback.
Yeah, they do.
Matt pulls them out, offers mm-hmm. one to Danny. He'll take the other one.
Mm-hmm.
He took a nibble out of one the other time.
Yeah.
Danny says, did it bring you up or down? He said, it just made me annoyed at Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this quick look that Danny gives Matthew, which is kind of like, I'm doing something cool with my brother type of look, type of moment.
LJ is here,
mm-hmm.
but Loretta couldn't make it. He has chicken pox. Her son has chicken pox. Matt's reaction right away is to just say, I never had chicken pox.
Yeah.
These people can't relate to other humans without sharing information about their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, LJ reveals to Danny that Loretta has a screenwriter boyfriend.
Yeah.
So Danny's pretty upset that he didn't stick around that night at the MoMA
mm-hmm.
and get together with Loretta.
Yeah. There's a woman there that gushes, that is like giving Matthew the eyes.
Yeah.
And he's just like, there's this woman over there. She's looking at me. Oh, she's coming over. But she gushes about Harold work.
Yeah, she was a former student. Mm-hmm. He spoke very highly of Matthew. Danny's there in the background. I didn't know he had another son.
Yeah. And a daughter.
And she says, yeah, and Harold means a lot to me and my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Marcus is gone.
Yeah, Marcus is gone.
Let's meet Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
Eliza's new beau.
Mm-hmm.
Bay.
Bay. Beau?
Like B-E-A-U? Isn't that like a...
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
It's not as hip.
not as current.
Also, college freshman Eliza had two wines and is now going to be drinking a beer.
Yeah, but Matthew and Danny have stepped out,
mm-hmm.
and Eliza comes out with a beer.
Danny doesn't want her to drink it.
Yeah, he's very protective, adamant, but she's going to do it anyway. So he snatches it out of her hand and throws it away.
Yeah, he gets angry.
Yeah.
He says, I'm good at parenting when you're not here, Matthew.
Yeah, like,
don't
stop.
Don't get involved.
Yeah, don't get involved, like...
Now we have a very long scene where Danny and Matthew really confront each other.
Yeah, they bring up so much stuff. There's so much stuff.
Everything that's been in the, like, all the characters have been juggling in the air. It mm-hmm. happens at the group show. We learn about Danny's past as a piano player.
Yeah.
He has immense stage fright.
Yeah.
Which sucks because he's about to speak at this showing.
Yeah.
But he says, playing piano was like walking barefoot through broken glass to get a milkshake. I love the milkshake, but my feet are bleeding.
Yeah.
I like that. They don't make it clear, mm-hmm. but I suspect that Danny took the downer and Matthew took the upper. Because Danny gets real sad.
Yeah.
And Matt doesn't really have patience for all the conversation.
Who took the downer?
I think Sandler did.
I think he took the upper.
Okay.
That'll
make it clear.
Yeah, because like Matthew eventually ends up crying. And then like
that's true.
At towards the like during Danny's speech, he's kinda on a uphill before it makes that hard cut.
Okay.
Where it kinda seems like he's winning over the room. Yeah. I think it was like, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what happened. But yeah, they're
both a wreck.
They're both a wreck and there's so much stuff and like they're
Danny learns talking about the relationship. And the art being sold, which he didn't know. And he's upset that it all happened while their father's in a coma.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a family decision. And now it's already been made and he's been left out.
Danny values Harold's art. Matthew doesn't.
Yeah, he thinks, Matthew thinks that they have been brainwashed. And maybe dad isn't a great artist.
And it gets physical.
Yeah, it does get physical.
Verbal sparring turns into physical sparring. You love fights in movies. What do you think about this fight choreography?
It's a very brotherly, safe fight where no one actually wants to hurt anyone. Or knows how to fight. They just have this aggression that they need to get out.
Yeah, it starts with them pushing each other out of frame.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually on the ground. Rolling over each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard cut to Matthew giving his speech.
Nose bleeding.
Very rough looking. Yeah.
His speech is all about himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
He like mentions his father at the beginning and tells the story about why it's called Matthew now. The piece. But it's really just about himself. And he starts crying.
Yeah, he starts crying. When he says out loud that he wanted to be an artist like his father, and that gets to him. And then he realizes that he may have made a mistake in selling his father's art like it was garbage. Yeah, he feels bad. And he starts to address Danny.
And then it's Danny's turn to speak, and when Matthew hands off the mic, Danny flinches.
It's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Danny kind of gives a counter speech.
His speech is all about himself.
Yeah, and about how he didn't have that relationship. Like, he wasn't there to... There's no piece of art called
There's no Danny's. And then Gene interjects. Yeah. Or Gene's.
Or Gene's, yeah. Like, there's no art about us. We don't have that relationship with him. But then he ends it on a upbeat where he's just like, but I think my father's work is great and I think it should have got more attention. I think fame or success would have made him happier.
Yeah.
Even though it's not real.
And then he says, or I just need my father to be a genius, because if he isn't a great artist, that means he was just a prick.
He was just a prick, yeah. And that's true.
Then we get
the... He needed to mean something.
Yeah, and then we get the final section, final chapter, early and late Meyerowitz. And this section is really the reason why I wanted you to watch this movie twice before podcasting, because it's a lot of false endings.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want you to watch this for the first time and then end the movie being frustrated that it didn't end 15 minutes before. Because there's some good endings and then it keeps going. It's very Return of the King in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about them.
Yeah. So it opens up.
Early Meyerowitz being Eliza Meyerowitz.
Mm-hmm.
She likes kissing Robin even more than Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And she's visiting a hospital, but it's not Harold.
No.
It's her father. It's Danny.
Yeah.
Getting that leg checked out.
Nice.
And Robin's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought scissors.
Yeah.
And Jean's going to get the same haircut that Robin gave Eliza.
The exact same haircut.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And we also get to see another Eliza original.
Yeah. It's like a take on Red Riding Hood, except... Yeah. Little Red is fucking the wolf, and also the wolf is Little Red.
Yeah.
And they're slapping each other, and Jean's in it.
Yeah, she makes an appearance.
And apparently she's in five more of Eliza's movies.
Yeah, and I love how supportive Danny is. Yeah. He's like, this one is like your best work. It's the best. And Jean, you were great in it. Yeah. You have great mise-en-scene.
Yeah. And then the first of many fade to blacks and then fade out from blacks, fade in from blacks. Next scene being Matthew visiting the country house.
Yeah.
We learn that the deal went through, even though Matthew apparently tried to stop it last minute,
mm-hmm.
but Maureen flexed her next of kin powers, made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn Matt's going to be in his father's life more. And also his son, Tony's life more, because he's going to be leaving to spend some time with Tony.
Yeah. I believe Harold invites
Matthew coming over.
Yeah, to lunch with LJ.
So Matthew, you should come when he visits.
Mm-hmm.
We also learn that the previously untitled sculpture, now named Matthew, should really be named Danny. Because
I want to throw my phone at the wall.
Yeah, the year
so frustrating.
Harold finally remembered, like he noted the year he made the sculpture,
because
that was the last year he worked in bronze or something. And Matthew says, "That can't be. I wasn't born yet."
Yeah.
Harold says, "No, that was it. I guess it wasn't you."
It's just like, God damn it.
So like these stories that really define who these people are aren't even real.
Yeah.
But they hold these sentiments with them and it kind of shapes who they are.
And like the father just had such a lack of care for his kids.
Yeah. Matthew thanks Harold for all the confidence he instilled in him, and he says, "I think that's why I'm good at what I am, what I do now, because of all that confidence." I'm kind of pointing to the fact that Gene and Danny don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Danny should. He was the kid.
Yeah, he was the kid.
There is
a Danny. There is.
And then it's nap time. Matthew sits with his father as he falls asleep, kisses his dad's head.
Says, "I love you."
Says, "I love you." Harold says, "I love you."
Fate to black. I like how this one, this opening is actually Danny waking up to Matt being there for him.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to bring it up before because he wears this suit throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But they put Ben Stiller in Adam Sandler's Punch Drunk Love suit.
Yeah?
It's that blue suit
mm-hmm.
that Adam Sandler wore the last time he was in like a serious role in an artful movie.
Interesting.
I like to think it's an homage. Apparently, Matthew paid for the room.
Yeah.
The private room.
Yeah.
Insisting that this way he can get some work done while he's visiting.
Yeah.
And the sunglasses come out again.
Yeah.
They both deny it being theirs, but Danny ends up taking it.
Yeah, well, I'm like, what is the significance of the sunglasses? What is it?
They could share it.
They could.
It's the same as the sculpture. Is it Danny's or Matthew's? You know?
Yeah.
Memory is fickle.
Yeah, Danny gets it. And he also, I don't know exactly how we get into this talking point, but Danny wishes that his father did one really great, unforgivable thing so that he could like be angry at him. But it's not just one thing. It's every little thing throughout the years.
Drip, drip,
just
drip.
Drip, drip, drip. Yeah, kind of like torture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty incisive observation about how sometimes bad relationships with parents can affect you.
Mm-hmm. Matthew invites Danny out to LA.
Yeah, they're walking down the hallway again.
Yeah.
Unlike the last time we had a scene with the two of them walking through the hospital, their conversation is back and forth.
Yeah.
They're staying on topic.
Yeah.
They're in sync.
They're connected.
They're able to connect.
Yeah.
They're connected. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Danny also thanks Matthew for taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Their relationship is getting better.
Yeah. Fade to black.
Mm-hmm.
Now Danny's visiting Harold at his home, at his country home. Well, his home now. No other home. But Harold's still Harold.
Still, yeah, still
doesn't
the same.
Doesn't invite Danny.
Nope, still talking about Matthew.
LJ. Yeah, talking about Matthew and saying, LJ's coming, you'll have to find something else to do.
Yeah, actually, yeah, like a little bit before that, it's Danny's like, hey, Matthew invited me out to LA. I'm going to go out. And then Harold's just like, no, you know, I'm just getting better. I want you here, which is like, it was cool to see because the movie, the picture had hinted at it, but it was very evident here that he was keeping his children separated. Mm-hmm. And he's the, you know, he's the fault in their relationship and the lack thereof. But yeah, he was trying to keep Matthew and Danny separated. And then Danny was actually going to stay. He was going to stay with his father until he brought up
the LJ comment.
Yeah, the LJ.
Maybe he can go see a movie while he's in town. I don't know. Find something to do.
Yeah.
Danny's bringing his father a plate of cookies, but when that happens, he drops the plate.
Yeah, smashes it.
Smashes it. And then says the words he was supposed to say when he thought Harold was dying.
Yeah.
I love you. I forgive you. Forgive me. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because his relationship with his father is never going to change. His father is always going to treat him like a stepchild.
But it's just terrible. He's leaving to LA. He's taking leaving. A stand and he's forgiving his father and asking for forgiveness. It's acceptance.
Yeah.
And the way it's shot is interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fast zoom on his face and then several cuts. Like, I think it ends up, it's like with each phrase.
Yeah, it gets closer to his mouth.
It ends up on his lips and then comes back out to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And then fades to black.
Yeah. It's like the forever shot from Sandlot.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of.
Now Danny's in a town car on the way to the airport. To LA, and he's looking pretty bougie, wearing a sports coat
and sunglasses.
The sunglasses has a fancy cane now.
Mm-hmm. He's being driven around.
Yeah, and he stops the car because he sees Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the beginning of the movie, he was driving looking for a spot, and now he's luxurious getting driven around.
Yeah.
He sees Loretta, so he gets the car to stop, pops out of the car. Not too fancy. Turns out he was wearing shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, the full outfit reveal is quite funny.
Yeah. So yeah, we get just the suggestion of Danny and Loretta ending up together.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very nice. He invites her to his daughter's film festival.
Actually, she invites herself.
Oh yeah. She's like, yeah, can I come? Yeah. She does make it a point.
Film fest. He warns her it's not unpornographic.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm part of the art world. I've seen everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also have Loretta kind of summing up Harold's life work in a positive light, which is the first time it has happened in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's either been bitter about his perceived failures, or the children are trying to figure out if his art will sell later.
Mm-hmm.
Or saying he didn't get enough credit, but Loretta frames it completely differently, saying, yeah, Harold taught at Bard for years. He taught many students. I loved hearing him talk about art, and he raised three great kids.
Yeah.
He should be proud.
Yeah. That's the outside view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Fade to black.
Fade to black.
For the last time.
Last one.
Or second, the penultimate. The last section. Just a little cherry on top, just to... The late Meyerowitz of the early and late Meyerowitz title,
mm-hmm.
because that supposedly lost sculpture in the Whitney is now being uncovered.
Yeah.
Eliza and Marcus are there.
Robin.
I wrote Marcus. Yeah, it's Robin.
It is Robin.
Eliza and Robin are in the Whitney, and they, it's like the storage, and that we don't even get to see the sculpture. It's just the crate.
Yeah.
But we see that it exists. That the Whitney bought a piece from him, his pride.
Yeah.
The high point of his career and his life, the way he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Abstraction number 7.
Yeah. And that's it. That's what it ends on.
Cut to black. Randy Newman, original song, Goodbye, Old Man. Pretty touching.
Mm-hmm.
It's no You've Got a Friend in Me, but Randy Newman is pretty great.
Yeah.
And that's the Meyerowitz stories, new and selected.
Yes.
Is it a movie or a film?
It's a film.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you would agree with me that it's a film, but I feel it's a film.
I feel the nuances
cool.
of family dynamics and the death of family.
Yeah.
A family. And it just, it feels so, such a human story.
Yeah.
Very grounded. Yeah.
And also, the structure is fun. I first see one son's relationship with the father, then you see the other son,
mm-hmm.
and then the event brings them together.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's it for ensembles, though I guess we'll probably end up covering
more ensemble pieces. This was a weird month because
we didn't really plan on it.
We
almost did Michael Clayton today, but like,
yeah,
we picked three ensemble movies and that one's just about Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
So I switched it.
Yeah. So, and it's nice too, cause I got to see this one and, maybe I'll get to see Michael Clayton someday.
Maybe. For now you can tweet us at moviefilmpod, moviefilmpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Check out our YouTube page as well.
Mm-hmm.
Been teasing it for a while, but we're pretty confident there's going to be some new stuff there.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in. Come back next week for more movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
And now, a word from our friends at Vintage Video Podcast.
On the Vintage Video Podcast, we'll be reviewing every major film release of the 1980s on their 40th anniversaries. John enters the store now to order another can of ether. I picture him outside like Homer with the gasohol.
One for you, one for me.
I also like to think about that the kids renew their vow not to talk about the murder.
By murdering someone.
They're taking a blood oath with someone else's blood.
This stuff is 7 times more powerful than uranium. And they open up the vault that it's contained in, not wearing any kind of protective gear. Yeah.
And it's wooden crates.
Wooden crates. It's like the guys in Chernobyl picking up the graphite rocks and going, because there's rocks.
Hugging the elephant foot. Just like, oh, this thing's smooth.
It's so warm.
He turns to dial the number from the classified ad without even thinking about the numbers. We know this because we can hear his thoughts, and he's talking about how AJ was right that ninjas are misdirecting him.
They're misdirecting me.
I really wish that he'd turn to the phone and been like, 6, 6, 5.
No,
that's 2 fives. Vintage Video. We're rewatching the 80s so you don't have to.